If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 1, reading through verse 8. It said, "This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days in speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For Jesus truly baptized with water, or John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I want to remind you this morning of the fact that we ought to live with a sense of expectancy about what God's going to do. I believe 2019 is going to be a year of accomplishment and achievement here at this church. And I want us to be excited and have an expectancy. And if you're excited and you have an expectancy about what you want to see, it's amazing how God will bring it to pass. He wants us to be hungry for that which he wants for us to do. Well, the man lived with his wife on an old family farm for years, barely scratching out an existence. All the while beneath the barren, dusty, almost uncultivatable soil was a rich supply of oil. One day when he was digging a water well, he discovered that oil and became a rich man. And he said to all of those that came by, "Just to think that I lived here all these years and didn't know how rich I was." Well, many Christians are like that farmer. They go through their days barely hanging on in their spiritual lives. They live in their own weak ways while beneath the surface the power of God is ready to break out in their lives. Many Christians don't know and realize just how rich and how blessed that we are. In the book of Acts, we discover that these first Christians were not like us. Or in fact, they was a whole lot like us. They fussed. They quarreled. They kind of got at odds with one another. They misunderstood the scope of God's love, and they were trying to be selective in who they were going to include into the kingdom of God. But one difference between them and us today is the fact that they had a sense of expectancy about what God was going to do. You know, I'm kind of like that little girl. Grandmother was talking to her about some of the stories in the Bible, and she was reciting them to the little girl. Then she stopped and she asked her, "What do you think about all of that?" She said, "Oh, I just love it. You never know what God's going to do." And that is true. We don't know exactly what God has in store for our lives, our families, our church, and for this world. I think all of us look and we see the dark side of this world, but there's a bright side. God is still on the throne. He is still in control. And we're going to win and be victorious in the end. Well, the first act of our resurrected Lord was to prepare the apostles for the task that was at hand. And he wanted to lay a foundation for them to be able to build on. You know, any building has got to have a proper, solid foundation. And the work of the kingdom of God needs a solid foundation, and the Lord Jesus knew that. And so here in these few verses, he lays out a solid foundation for us to build on. And he told us that we were to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What did they need in order to accomplish their assignment? Luke told them in verse 3 that the Lord had defeated death, and he was the Son of God, and he was alive and well. And he presented himself to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. And he showed them through many infallible proofs that he was alive and well. The one thing that we need to know this morning without a doubt is that he that promises to give life is alive. He is on the right hand of the throne of God, ready to make intercession for us. Well, notice the kingdom of God in verses 3, 6, and 7. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was not political, but that it was spiritual. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Sometimes we get to thinking that it's more political than it is spiritual. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is to set out to try and accomplish the goal of reaching the lost. He gave us the Great Commission. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And he said, "All power is given unto me," and he will give us the power that we can accomplish this goal that he set before us. He taught that the kingdom of God was not national, but it was universal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I stop and I think about the love of God, I cannot comprehend the breadth and the width and the height of it. I do not always understand how God can love us when we are unlovable in our actions and attitudes. But he does. Aren't you glad that we have a God that loves us in spite of all of our difficulties and trials and all of our problems? He loves us. He taught that the kingdom of God was not earned, but it was received. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all. You know, sometimes folks want to think and make becoming a Christian a difficult thing, hard to do, hard to understand. But he said, even a child can understand. Aren't you glad that you can come to the Lord today and his word tells you, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Anybody can understand that. Come and confess your sins for forgiveness. He taught that the kingdom of God was not temporal, but it was eternal. The angel said to Mary about Jesus, The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He is eternal. He taught that the kingdom of God was not future, but present. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you now. You see, we're a part of God's kingdom this morning. Now, I know that there are other denominations out there, and all Bible-believing denominations are a part of his kingdom. We're not the only ones, thank goodness. But I'm here to remind you that we are a part of the kingdom, and we've been charged with enlarging the kingdom. We've been charged with going out into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in that God's house might be full. He taught that the kingdom of God was not secondary, but it was primary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added to you. Do you ever worry about how things are going to work out and if you're going to have enough, you know, to get by? Sometimes folks worry about they might live longer than their money, you know, and then find themselves kind of short. But you know, I believe that if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, he'll take care of you. I don't know how he's going to do it. Don't know just exactly what's going to happen, but he'll take care of you. Now, Jesus reaffirmed all these truths about the kingdom of God to his apostles. He gave them the information that they needed and gave us the information we need to accomplish his great goal. Then he talks about the Holy Spirit in verses 4, 5, and 8. Jesus told the apostles to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father that he would send a comforter. Now, Jesus Christ was limited by his physical body, just like you and I are. He could not be with everybody at the same time, but he said, I will send you a comforter, and he can live within you, and it will be as though I am present in you all the time. What a blessing. Well, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believers. Now, we as Free Will Baptists believe that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you take him as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit is the life-giving agent. And the Holy Spirit comes to indwell your life when you exercise believing faith in the Lord. And if you have not the Spirit, you have none of his. Or you're none of his. And so we believe that when you come and get saved, that the Holy Spirit comes within your life and he is there as an inhabitant in your house, the house of your life. During these days in the graduate school of discipleship, Jesus taught the apostles about the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit empowers for worldwide service and evangelism. We must care about unbelievers because God does. Love leaves no choice. What would you do, Mom or Dad? You saw the house was on fire. Your children were on the inside. I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd run in that building, that house, and you'd do everything within your power to reach that child or children and to get them out to safety. I'm going to tell you that this old world is on fire. It may not be burning where it's evident now, but it's on fire and it's going to melt with a fervent heat one day. Love says we've got to reach them, pull them out of the fire. Kind of reminds me of a true story on Lake Michigan one day, there was a shipwreck. It was pretty close to shore, and it was back during the time when they didn't have all the modern conveniences, and some of the life-saving crews came to the shore of Lake Michigan, and they would swim out in order to bring in and rescue those that were in the sea. This one man went out one time and brought in one, went out another time and another and another and another. And he was so tired that he couldn't hardly go back, but he said, I've got to go back. There's more out there. I've got to go back and get one more. He went out one more time. They didn't know if he'd get back, but he came back and he brought in one more. And I thought about that. This old world is perishing. People are dying every day. I can tell you that the majority of folks that died, the majority of the folks that you see in the obituary page, they're not ready to die. They're not ready, for the Bible said that broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. But narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Then he talked about the second coming. Do you believe he's coming? Amen. I'm excited about the fact that he's coming. You see, the resurrected Lord taught the apostles that he was going to come again. And while he was ascending back to the Father, and the disciples were there looking up as Jesus Christ was ascending to heaven. I'm going to tell you, one of these days when the rapture takes place, we'll be going up just like he did. But the Bible said that the men of Galilee were troubled because Jesus was being taken from their midst. What were they going to do? The angel said, you men of Galilee, this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven is going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go. Amen. Well, two things that they taught us here. Number one, Jesus will come personally. The angel said this Jesus, this same Jesus, is going to come again. And it reminds me of a tourist that was traveling along the shores of Lake Como in northern Italy. At the Villa Escanati, the friendly gardener opened the gate and showed this visitor the grounds, which the old man kept in perfect order. The tourist asked him when the owner had been there last, and he said, 12 years ago. The tourist replied, but you keep the garden in such fine condition, just as though you expected your master to come tomorrow. To which the gardener promptly replied, today, sir, today. I'm going to tell you, one of these days, it'll be today that the Lord Jesus Christ says it's enough. And then he will come triumphantly. When Jesus described his coming in Matthew 25:31, he said he would return in all of his glory. How different the second coming will be from the first coming. He came in humility the first time. He was rejected of men and crucified upon the cross. But the second time he'll come in glory. You see, the second time he will come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, that he is Jehovah God, that he is the great I Am, that he is coming back for his people. I rejoice in that. You know, I've been at three funerals this last week, did two of them. Have you ever thought about what you want said at your funeral? Have you ever thought about what you want the preacher to say about you? You know, some have suggested maybe we could just make up our own statements, you know, and leave it for the preacher. Well, that's probably not a good idea because you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It's what God thinks. That's right. It's what God thinks. And if he sees you as a child of the king, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that's all that counts. You remember Bud Wilkerson? I like this illustration. After he finished coaching the great University of Oklahoma football team, I'm teasing. He became the president's advisor on physical fitness. One day, a Dallas reporter asked him to kind of lay out the merits of the game of football, what it had to do with physical fitness. And he said, absolutely nothing. He said, would you please elaborate? He said, there are 22 players out on the field who desperately need rest. And there are 50,000 fans in the stadium who desperately need exercise. That kind of is a picture of the church. Sad to say. But you know, we've kind of reached a point that church has become a spectator sport. And we don't get involved in the work that God has for us to do. 2019, and you'll receive this as you go out this morning, is a year of growth for the Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church in spiritual maturity, in number, in giving, in serving, and in using our talents. Is that not sensible? Is that not just something that we ought to do? Amen. And we're going to strive and we're going to push and we're going to shove. We're going to do everything we can to reach 150 or 60 people. I like 160 better. But we're going to strive to do everything we can to reach 160 in 2019. You know, before I get too old, I'd like to build a new facility, a new auditorium. But we won't until we need it and we're pushing the seams and we have the financial ability to do it. But number, and then in giving, last year, and you'll receive your tithe receipts this morning if you want them. If not, I'll mail them to you tomorrow. But we received about $200,000 this year as a church. Over $50,000 from the building fund in addition to that. So we took in about a little over $250,000. I really am. In order to build that new building that is somewhere out in the future, we need to raise the level of giving at least 25% in 2019. That means from $200,000 to $250,000 in tithes and offerings. We're also encouraging folks to serve. Get involved. Ask the preacher. Ask the staff, what can I do? And then using our talents. You know, we've got some of the best musical talent in all the world right here. And I tell that everywhere I go. But we need to use our talents and abilities for the glory of God. January is a month to bathe the campaign of what we're going to do in 2019, a year of growth with prayer. February will be a time of preparation and stewardship. Prepare for success. March, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have three big days in March. March the 3rd, March the 17th, March the 31st. On March the 3rd, it'll be Neighbor Sunday. Bring all your neighbors. I don't know what I did, but on the 17th, it'll be Friend Sunday. Bring your friends. They'll be your neighbors too. Then on the 31st, it'll be Family Day. Family Day. And we're going to have a big meal on Family Day. And I've asked two gentlemen. Brother Harold is going to head up one side of the church. Brother Bill Rogers, the other side of the church. Now, I know that you got family that's sitting in both places, but it looks about even this morning. Brother Bill, this is your side. Brother Harold, this is your side. And I'm going to tell you, I want you to put the gloves on and come out, you know, ready to go. And let's reach as many people as we can for Christ. That's what it's all about. We just want to reach people for the Lord. Because I really believe, and I've had some real consternation and thought about the fact that this may be the year that the Lord says it's enough. And I want us to be going strong when he comes and building his kingdom. Amen. This is for the first 6 months. April is Easter. May is Mother's Day and our revival with Brother Derek Stennett. June is Father's Day. And that is our first 6 months of our year of growth in 2019. We'll have a banner next week. Up here, and we're going to push and shove. And I want you guys to help Harold and Bill. They can't do it by themselves. I mean, they do a pretty good job of doing what they do, but we want to have three of the biggest Sundays that we've ever had. And you know, they say if you can get folks here three Sundays in a row, you'll keep them. You'll keep them. So let's not just try to get them here one Sunday, but let's get them here two Sundays, three Sundays, and keep them the fourth Sunday. Isn't that a good plan? Well, it just reminds me of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and we need to be ready to meet him. And I want to be busy and occupying till he comes. Will you bow with me for prayer?